Views and opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Namaste. Namaste, Black Rose. I'm not. Your sound is not coming through. It's mine coming through. Okay. All right. Well, welcome everyone to tonight's show, Mind, Body, and Spirit. Tonight, this is Wednesday, March 14th, 2018. And we have a great show for you tonight. You know, this is Women's Month. So we are celebrating Black women with mind, body, and spirit, Black pride, and Black culture. Raising our frequencies, lifting our vibrations, speaking our truths, and healing our hearts with the Mind, Body, and Spirit radio show. With conversations centered around spirit talk, world affairs, lifestyle enhancements, and more. So tune in to hear tonight the African Spirit segment. We will be honoring Shirley Ann Jackson. Mind, Body, and Spirit responds to your letters about life, your spiritual journey, health, relationships, dating, career questions, love, sex, etc. in the Ask Mind, Body, Spirit segment. You can send your letters to Mind, Body, Spirit Radio Show at gmail.com. That's Mind, Body, Spirit, no commas, no periods, Mind, Body, Spirit Radio Show at gmail.com. So you can also log on at 9 p.m. Central Time, 10 p.m. Eastern Time to blacktalkradionetwork.com to hear the show or call in to speak at 704-802-5056. That's 704-802-5056. Hit ** to unmute yourself and join in the enriching dialogue with Black Rose and myself for the light on the Mind, Body, and Spirit show. And please feel free to call in during the show. We'd like to hear from you. Please follow us on Twitters at Mind, Body, at MBS Spirit Radio Show, at MBS PIRIT Radio. Join us also on BTRCommunity.com and then join the Mind, Body, and Spirit Radio Show group page to interact with Black Rose, Federal Light, and listeners from around the world. So, Black Rose, is still having technical difficulties. So we are going to start out, as we always do, with a quote. So I will do my quote. Quoting here. With the people, for the people, by the people. I crack up when I hear it. I say, with the handful, for the handful, by the handful. Because that's what really happens. Close quote. Fannie Lou Hamer, revolutionary civil activist, voting rights icon, and pioneer. She transitioned on October 6, 1917. You know, Fannie Lou Hamer was thrown off the bus long before Miss Rose was. And there was another woman who was also sued the bus transportation system. So women have been fighting for quite a while for their rights. Are you back, Black Rose? Okay, so we're going to go through. Thank you, everyone, for listening, for tuning in to our Mind, Body, and Spirit show. Let's see. Some of our hot topics are. Oh, so everyone knows about the incident with the children being shot and killed, okay, with the loose cannon person running around with guns. So the Trump administration decides he wants to give guns to teachers. So as the Trump administration advocates for more guns in the schools and allowing teachers to carry firearms, which I think is crazy, two separate incidents in Virginia and California on Tuesday, in which trained school employees accidentally, they were trained, but accidentally, fired their weapons, highlight the dangers of such a proposal. A teacher who is also a reserve police officer trained to use a gun accidentally discharged a firearm at Seaside High School in Monterey County, California on Tuesday. According to the local outlet KSBW, Dennis Alexander's gun went off around 1 p.m. while he was teaching a course about gun safety. Oh my gosh, he was pointing his gun at the ceiling when it went off. It was a good thing. And pieces of the ceiling hit the ground. The local police department said no one suffered serious injuries, but one 17-year-old boy was harmed when fragments from the bullet hit his neck. The boy's father, Fermin Gonzalez, told KSBW. The boy's parents only figured out what had happened, when he returned home from school with blood on his shirt and bullet fragments on his neck. What the hell? The parents were upset that they were not told of the incident and had to call and make the report to the police themselves. The school did not even notify them. The school did not even send the boy home. Okay. That plan didn't work. Go back to the drawing board. Here's good news. Get your children excited about reading. There's a new app called We Read Too. It's books by and for people of color. This app is free. It is divided into age groups, etc. I thought that was a really, really good thing. We Read Too, because there's this myth that people of color don't like to read. And we all know where that came from. It was against the law for so many years. But one of the books I thought was really good, Big Hair Don't Care. Big Hair Don't Care is a cute little girl on the front of the cover. And she's got this you know, puffed hair, curly, and it's all sitting out. And she's smiling and looking gorgeous. And then there's another one. This one won an award. It's called Crown, like C-R-O-W-N, Crown, when a boy gets his hair cut. He looks really, really cool, and he thinks he's all that. It's called Crown, an Ode to the Fresh Cut. So that won an award. And then here's another one. by an African. I believe she's from Ghana. It's called A is for Activists. Aha. Now that's good. A is for Activists instead of A is for Apple. A is for Activists. The biggest movie of 2018 is by far Black Panther. The film stars some of the best of the best when it comes to actors. You have Angela Bassett, Chadwick Boseman, Forest Whitaker, Michael B. Jordan, the list goes on and on. Many other seasoned actors who have been acting for decades tried to get in on this movie but were turned down. One actress who had just begun acting when she turned 88 landed the role of a lifetime, proving that it's never too late to go for your dreams, baby. With most of the cast being younger, Dorothy Steele of Atlanta said she quickly became the grandmother on the set of Black Panther, which she said is not just a movie, but a movement. Those were her words. Now 92, Dorothy Steele plays a tribal leader. She had about three other acting assignments before this. I mean, that's great. Now 92, Dorothy Steele plays a tribal leader in the fictional land of Wakanda, from Atlanta to Wakanda. You go. We were one big melting pot of Black people, and we knew we were doing something that had never been done before, you know, she said. Steele stated, Black girl magic has no expiration date. I love that. Has no expiration date. You go for it. She decided. I thought maybe she'd been wanting to be an actress for a long time, for years, but she just decided at 88, hey, I want to do some acting. Mrs. Steele was just 14 years old when she witnessed the first African-American woman actress, Hattie McDaniel, win the Oscar Award for Best Supporting Actress in 1940. It took another 62 years for the first Black actress, Halle Berry, to win an Oscar for Best Actress when Steele was 76 years old. As we all know, Black Panther is an all-around powerful statement within Hollywood for several reasons, including the predominantly Black cast, which was a first for Marvel Studios. However, Steele attributes much of that power to the fact that there were so many strong women in the movie. She said of the women of Wakanda, rule Black Panther, we have power and it's time for us to step up and take over. That's what we have to do and take over. Oh, all right. I hear that. That's coming from one of our elders. Step up to the plate because we're needed. We are needed. Is that you out here, Black Rose?
Yes.
In the background?
We are needed. Can you hear me?
Okay.
I say yes.
We are needed.
Yeah. We are. We have to step up. Oh, my goodness. Mm-mm-mm. So I missed some of what you were saying, but I did come in on that tail end, which was powerful. As always, poignant. Okay. All right, then. So
but you want to share your hot topics? Because you had some I just kind of...
Oh, okay. I'll share my hot topics.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Oh, my goodness. Craig Mack passed. Now, Craig Mack, he was a part of Bad Boy label, Puff Daddy, P. Diddy label, and I remember that song. He was so hype. He reminded me of Busta Rhymes. I think Busta Rhymes was on that song with them, Flavor in Your Ear. It was such a hit too. And so he was only 46. 46. Mm. These young people are transitioning. So, yeah. Condolences to Craig Mack's family and loved ones. I was sad to hear about that. And there has not been a determination as to cause of death. So,
still
mysterious. Not that I know of as of today. I have not checked this afternoon. So, if anyone knows, please let us know about Craig Mack. And then also that physicist Steve Hawkins, the one that had the Lou Gehrig's disease, but he was very profound, and he was like a war protester, best-selling author. He passed today also. I think Craig McFadden passed one. And then Mother Hattie, our Mother Hattie, is on her way to the United Nations Thursday to attend the Commission on the Status of Women at the UN, because 2020 is the culmination year, but there's a focus. So we have two more years, and what we were discussing is next year have a maybe charter some buses so that women from different parts of the country can go to the UN and speak, because if we're not there to speak for ourselves, then who else can tell our story?
Right, exactly.
Authentically than yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So we so that's what this Commission on the Status of Women represents, and what the whole purpose of it is for us to speak about our conditions. And not just our conditions, but also bring some solutions and to have it on record. And so that's what's primary, is having these stay on record, which leads me into we are filming the stories of Black women in particular, because we want to share our stories of how it is, how it has been living as an African American, a Black woman here in America, and also globally. And
definitely,
we're not excluding anyone, but we want to share our stories of the discrimination. And there's a essay, I can't recall the sister who wrote this essay, but it's in one of my books, and she speaks about the double negative, whereas with women we have that double negative. Well, Black women, we're Black and you're a woman.
Right.
So, and I think she expounds to say there's a triple negative. I have to read the essay again. So we want to hear those stories. We'll let people know more about that. But if you are interested in submitting your stories, we will film these stories. We can also have someone to read your story. But we want to have these stories collected into a video. So we'll let people know about that. Have a compilation of videos.
I know I have a story or two.
Ooh, honey. Don't we all, if we just reach deep down, in our bosom and in our hearts. I know that's right. I don't have to reach. I can give you one from last week.
Yeah.
But I did not get a chance to listen again to the Ghanaian president statements that he delivered in front of the president of France. But basically, if you have time, go on YouTube and Google or whatever this speech. And you know how they have, the presidents have those like joint press conferences. Well, this Ghanaian president, I do have to Google his name. He basically told that president of France with their thieving tales that, listen, it's a new day in Africa. We want to keep our brains, our youth, instead of having to export the talents of our youth to places like France and America, we want to keep our youth. We have been conceding and giving in and paying to the demands of France and America. And what has it gotten us? Nothing. So it stops now, because we might as well do something else different, because that hasn't been working. I mean, I was like, oh my God, you better say it, brother.
Nana Akufo-Addo. His name was Nana Akufo-Addo.
Nana Akufo-Addo.
Yes.
He did that. Yeah. All I have to say, he told that French president, listen, buddy, your time is what? Time's up? Your time is up. Hashtag time's up. Nobody's going to keep on paying you reparations when we need reparations. The way they've gone around and pillaged all over the land. Please. And raped and pillaged. And then have viral. Audacity to have it went viral. Great. Absolutely. It's a renaissance. It's a new day.
Yes, it's a new day.
It's a new day. The shift is here. Mm-hmm. And you know what? Another way that I know that it's a new day, as I lead into this next topic, these trashy, oh Lord, trailer park trash. And I don't mean to talk about people that live in a trailer park. I'm talking about those trailer park trash ones. You know who I'm talking about. Up in here parading around in this so-called White House, and up and down these halls everywhere. You know, presidential porn stars. What the hell? I mean, everybody knew that the Kennedy boys, they were, you know, both having this salacious affair with Marilyn Monroe and all of that stuff. You know, they just used her like her like a Sunday paper on Thursday. And but after that, it seemed like people started trying to have some type of dignity or keep your little affairs quiet. I mean, because even though there were all kinds of rumors about Barack and Michelle and all this old business, whatever, but they were able to quell those rumors. They were able to suppress, shall I say, a lot of those rumors.
Mm-hmm.
And also have the public blinded so much by them that it didn't matter. People didn't care what you said about Barack.
You
it's like, oh, whatever. Whatever. That's just like Marlon, what's his name? Marble Manning, with his insinuation that Malcolm X may have had some homosexual affairs. I'm like, oh, child, please, whatever. Whatever. I don't want to hear that. That's not relevant. I mean, why are you trying to make it germane? Anyway, so my point is this president with these porn stars, and she wants to give back the money that she was given to keep quiet so she can tell her story. I get that $130,000 back too, because she can make $1 million telling her story. $1 million and parlay that into a whole nother, what is it, reality show and all of that. But these people, they're disgusting. They're just disgusting. Absolutely disgusting. And I have to mention this assistant to Trump. I think his name was something McInter. Oops, I wrote it down somewhere, but he's not that important. But anyway, he was terminated today because apparently he has some type of online gambling addiction. He's probably going all in the dark web, doing all kinds of freaky nasty things, and they just say gambling. You know how they do that nasty look. I'm like Color Purple. Yeah, I heard she had that old nasty woman. Disease. I heard she had that old nasty woman disease. He looked like he been running around the world screwing people. You know, that old mean granddaddy, daddy, or whatever. What's his name? Mr.'s daddy, you know. But anyway, this man, he was terminated today. McInter, whatever his name is. Honey, do you know they escorted his butt out of there so fast they wouldn't even let him grab his coat? You know how you may have your coat, I guess, on your coat rack or maybe on the back of his leather chair. He been up in that ball and didn't realize they've been watching him. Look, NSA been watching you too, buddy. We told you. But no, you just want to go ahead on with all that. Oh, they're not watching me. They're watching you too. They're watching all of us.
So, yeah. So you on the list?
They wouldn't even let the man grab his coat. I just thought that was so funny. And it's just indicative of how their little world is just crumbling, and it's crumbling. And it's hilarious. It's like a comic show. It's like it's a joke, and it's insanity. Yeah. Oh my gosh! Anyway, I think that those are my hot topics. I believe. Was there anything else that I have to share with
me? Oh, your quote. How about your quote?
Oh, okay, sure. I can the quote. Okay. We must not, in trying to think about how we can make a big difference, ignore the small daily differences we can make, which over time add up to big differences that we often cannot foresee.
Mm.
Marion Wright Eldon. So the little small steps that we take, the small actions could lead to the bigger picture. It'll put you on your path. You'll stay on your path if you stay focused. One step at a time. It gets difficult. Actually staying focused and moving ahead like that, but we have to. So, Feather Light, did you get a chance to get your hand here?
Yes, I got my quote in. I did.
Okay.
And I believe you had poetry reading.
Yes, I do. I'm looking for my poetry reading. If you just give me a moment. Do you have another quote that you can share while I'm getting my poetry reading?
Of course. Oh, yes. Here's a good one.
Okay. Let me see. Let me get my read.
To protect my energy, it is okay to change my mind. To protect my energy, it is okay to cancel a commitment. To protect my energy, it is okay to take a day off.
Take a day off.
To take a day off. Hey, I'm not coming in. To protect my energy, it is okay to not answer that call.
Not answer that call.
Don't feel like you gotta answer every call that comes through. No. To protect my energy, it is okay to not share myself. Not right now. Not right now. To protect my energy, it is okay to do nothing. To do nothing. To protect my energy, it is okay to be alone. Just be alone.
Just be alone.
You want some company? No. No, not right now. To protect my energy, it is okay to sleep in. To protect my energy, it is okay to speak up. To protect my energy, it is okay to move on. Just move on. Kick the dust behind you. Move. To protect my energy, it is okay to let go. Lose the grip, let go. And lastly, to protect my energy, it's okay to change. I thought you said I changed my mind. Your spirit have changed. What you expect me to do? Not evolve? Oh, you change. Of course, that's the whole process, to change, to evolve.
Don't go changing. You remember that song? Don't go changing. How you doing or something?
But it meant don't go, don't change for me. You know,
That's
for
awesome.
Me. Be you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people change when they meet somebody because they think that's what that person wants. Be the you who they met. You know, if they don't like you, then let them move on.
That's just like when, say, for instance, I guess maybe I remember in cases where as a friend would meet someone or you may meet someone and then all of a sudden you stop going out with your girls, stop talking to your family or things like that, or maybe you stop going to church or whatever the case may be. You stop, your regular routine ceases. And maybe it could be good if you have some type of toxic issues going on. Maybe they stop you from engaging in drugs or going out too much.
I was dating this one guy, and I didn't realize that he had a drinking problem because he was a covert drinker. You know, I mean, his breath always smelled fresh, and I never saw him guzzling drink. You know, and he never acted like he was drunk. He was one of those people who could be drunk, but you don't know they're drunk. They got it down.
Functioning alcoholic.
Mm-hmm. Right. Go to work.
Functioning alcoholic.
Yes, he kept mints, though. This should have been a hint, but he worked at a hotel, so, you know, he always had mints, right? So that excused that. But when I found out, I said, I think you may have a problem with drinking and, you know, da-da-da-da. And so he said that he was going to stop. And I know we're coming up for a break. I'm going to finish this. He said, it's going to stop. And he said, and I want you to join me. I said, wait.
Wait a minute. Hold up. He said he's going to stop. Oh, he wants to stop drinking. And he wants you to stop drinking, too.
Right. I was like, I don't have a problem.
I have my little half a glass of wine once a week or whatever.
Right. Your, I don't even drink a full glass.
Chug a lug and probably wake up and chug a lug and, you know, please get out of here with that.
Another glass wasted.
You can't handle it. You want me to stop? I don't have a problem. I know how to drink and drive. Don't drink and drive.
If the liquor store is closed, I will not cry. I promise you, I will not cry. Oh, boy. So, is it time out? Let's see. You know what? Do you want to do your poetry reason or you want me to love the body?
Oh, you know what? I can, I certainly can share the poetry reading.
Okay. Very good. Very good.
Very good. Okay, tonight, I will poem by one of my favorites, again, Frances Ellen Harper, who we are also speaking about tonight. We'll share some elements of Frances Ellen Harper right now, though, with her poetry, and we'll speak more about her. I just love this woman. Okay, Frances Ellen Watkins Harper, Bury Me in a Free Land. This was actually one of her most famous works. And it reads, make me a grave where you will, in a lowly plain or a lofty hill. Make it among earth's humblest graves, but not in land where men are slaves. I could not rest if around my grave I heard the steps of a trembling slave. His shadow above my silent tomb would make it a place of fear and gloom. I could not rest if I heard the tread of a coffle gang to the shambles led, and the mother's shriek of wild despair rise like a curse on the trembling air. I could not sleep if I saw the lash drinking her blood at each fearful gash, and I saw her babes torn from her breast like trembling doves from their parents' nests. I'd shudder and start if I heard the bay of bloodhounds seizing their human prey, and I heard the captive plead in vain as they bound afresh his galling chain. If I saw young girls from their mother's arms battered and sold for their youthful charms, my eye would flash with a mournful flame, my death-paled cheek grow red with shame. I would sleep, dear friends, where bloated might can rob no man of his dearest right. My rest shall be calm in any grave where none can call his brother a slave. I ask no monument proud and high to arrest the gaze of the passers-by. All that my yearning spirit craves is bury me not in a land of slaves.
Oh, that was so moving.
Poet and novelist. Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Such
moving.
Oh, God, just. And it was.
She could feel that. She could feel that.
Yes. She was a true artist, like Nina Simone would later speak of how an artist is supposed to capture and reflect the times. And that was what she was reflecting, how slavery, the captive of innocent people, should not be legal. And although it is legal, it should be abolished immediately. And that's one thing, too, that needs to be discussed and understood with clarity. There were all types, there were different types of abolition, I should say, from my understanding. You had some abolitionists that wanted the abolition, the abolishment of slavery immediately, and some in a more progressive way. Eliminate it this way, that way, here and there, you know, because they're not really equal. But you know, enslavement was not the answer. I mean, we can't just mistreat them.
Right. They did,
You didn't have that clue. So, but Frances Ellen Watkins Harper. All right.
Thank you.
That was
Thank you
for Bury that. Me in a Free Land. Again.
Give you some snaps.
That was published in 1854. 1854. Wow. So this was before the Civil War, before slavery was so-called abolished and all of that. So anyway, yes,
have a woman write like that back in then. There was, but that was something to see, to witness, and to be have it published. That was good. Thank you for sharing that.
Yes, and I'll share a little some more tidbits about her, because she was considered one of the first in some of her works. But there was another woman. Our Nig was actually the first novel to be written by an African-American woman, but that was found after Frances Ellen Harper's writings.
Yeah, I thought it was something about that kind of tricky.
Yes. Yeah. So I'll share more about that when we discuss Frances Ellen Harper later. All right, so let's go on into, unless you have any more comments for the light before we move along and starts celebrating our women.
We can go ahead and start, yes. But I we'll
squeeze. Oh, yeah, you love the body.
Yeah.
Pardon me. Okay. So love the body, baby.
Okay. It won't take long.
Love the body music.
Let's do a chakra review. So we decided that each week we're going to talk about our chakras because they are so important. And they can be kind of complicated, so we didn't want to rush through it. We want to take one at a time, and then I want to review what I shared last week, because just to kind of, you know, nail it in there, and for those who missed it, and just kind of go over just the highlights of the sacral chakra, which is the second chakra. I believe I said third, but it is the second chakra of the seven major chakras. We have many. We have many. Just imagine we know that there's energy all running through our body. So it's not one big blob of energy. It's energy channels, and they're called meridians. And in certain places, these meridians, these channels of energy, they get into clusters, and they spin. And so they are located in different parts of our body, and they control how we feel, how we act, how we respond to people. And it means a lot, our emotions, all of that. So each one is correspondent with an element, like water, fire, what have you. And they're located in seven major parts of our body. Like I said, I keep saying major because there's actually more. There's one on the bottom of our feet, on the top of our feet, but we're going to talk about the major ones. Okay, so the sacral chakra is located between the navel and the sexual organs, and its goals are pleasure, healthy sexuality, and feeling, its identity, emotional identity. The gemstones associated with the sacral chakra are citrine, amber, fire agate. Those are the three major ones. The right is the right to feel. You have a right to feel.
You have a right to feel.
Shut down their feelings. Yeah, they shut down their feelings.
it's demon, is what we have to look out for, is guilt. Some people feel guilty for no reason. The meridian, particular meridians, they're yang meridians and yin meridians. Last week we did the yin on the arm and the inside, and then we turned over and we did the yang. So this is a yin meridian. It's a female. It's the center of sexuality, our emotions, sensations, pleasure, movement, and nutrients. Its connection is to water. If there's a malfunction in this area, physically you'll have stiffness, emotionally you'll have emotional instability, sexual problems, lower back pains, financial difficulties. The sacral chakra basically is about what the body wants and needs and what it finds pleasurable. A person's willingness to feel their emotions. So this sacral, this particular chakra, have you ever heard of the pleasure principle?
Yes. Well, Janet Jackson's song, remember?
Oh, okay.
Pleasure principle.
Well, she's talking about the sacral chakra.
Well, you know, they always have said that Janet Jackson was very sexual.
Yes.
So that's where she got it from. She was in tune with her sexuality. And there's nothing wrong with being in tune with your sexuality.
There's nothing wrong with it. Yes.
That's the problem. Many of us are not in tune with our sexuality. You're having sex for the wrong reasons.
Right.
Half the time.
Right. Right. We can sometimes deny ourselves pleasure by totally avoiding sex for unhealthy reasons, like for guilt, or fear, or maybe you've been molested, you know, earlier, or raped, and you're denying yourself the pleasure of sex. So that shuts down your sacral chakra. Denying ourselves proper rest. Simple pleasures, you know, work, you know, when do you have fun? When do you shut down? When do you put down the phone, the tablet, the computer, you know, just work. Okay. So that's excessive. Sometimes we can indulge in harmful drugs, excessive spending, frivolous activities, and we deplete our resources as well as our bodies. So that's an imbalance of the sacral chakra. Balancing this chakra enables us to move deeply into the temple of the body, feeling fulfilled, whereas one can have a foundation for power and love and creativity and meditative concentration. So balance requires opening to the chakra's particular energy without becoming obsessively attached. Okay? So I want to give you some tips on healing strategies to be balanced. You have the ability in this area. You have the ability to experience pleasure with healthy boundaries. You have the ability to change. You have concern for others. You have a good emotional intelligence and nurture of self and others. The clairsentience is the psychic sense of the second chakra, the first stirrings of a higher consciousness and the development of greater sensitivity toward others. And clairsentience is the ability to sense other people's emotions, also called empathy. So emotions are inherently tied in with movement. If you think about it, we repress feelings by restricting movement. And conversely, movement can free the emotional holdings that causes chronic tension. Here's some exercises you can do. Scissor kicks. You know,
I like
sure you've seen that on the TV or whatever. Pelvic rocks, you know, on the floor, you know, rock your pelvic, rock. Hip circles, just move your
I need to remember that.
Circle. Back and forth, move to the left, move to the right, and walking from the pelvis. Okay, you know how to walk from the pelvis. You stoop low, you bend your knees, and then you swing your hips slowly as you walk, like a jazz dancer. You know how jazz dancers, they walk with their hips first. So that's a good movement for balancing your sacral chakra. And of course, the affirmation is, I deserve pleasure in my life. So say that to yourself at least once a day. Now, next week, we will talk about the root. Let's get to the root of the problem. The root chakra is the right to have. So are you grounded? Do you feel safe and secure in this world? Are you on your path? How are you doing financially? Are you constantly struggling? Do you have a strong foundation? Do you feel powerless sometimes about what's really going on? Are you depressed? How well do you know your root chakra? That's the bundle of energy that's at the base of your spine. And it really is the base of all the other energies. It makes it easy for you to connect with others, with your family, with your friends. So having this chakra grounded, being grounded, is really important for all of your chakras, because some people are like, I'm woke. But are you grounded?
Are you grounded?
Are you grounded? You woke, but are you grounded? You floating all over the place, you know? So we will talk about the root chakra next week. And there you have it.
Well, you know, that's what I've been working on, my sacral chakra. And I listened to some of the sacral chakra frequency music, and it seemed to really help. Immediately when I started listening to the sacral chakra music, my back pain healed, and I have not had back problems. I sure haven't.
That is wonderful. Those tones, certain tones for different chakras.
Solfeggio. Solfeggio frequencies. They are truly, truly powerful. It's all about the universal sound.
It is. The vibration. It really is. Yes. Yes. Each chakra has its own sound, its own tune. I will find out what the tune is for the root when we talk about it next week.
Okay.
And its own mantra, too. It has its own mantra.
Its own mantra.
Yes.
Working on my root chakra helped me also. It helped me to learn to feel safe. And I still have to remind myself daily that you are safe, you're secure, and not to worry. Because that affects your root chakra when you're worried and not feeling safe, and that's how we feel, many of us as African Americans, especially
as African Americans. Our root chakra is really off balance, and it's understandably so. But many of us are not aware of it.
We're not aware of it. I've wondered for years why I felt so stagnant. And it's because of years and years of years of not feeling safe and secure and being fearful. We're always in this fear of this or fear of that, fear of holding on to a job, fear of feeding our families, fear of racism, discrimination, all this. And just imagine what our ancestors felt. Being fearful that someone would capture and enslave you if you were actually a free person. You're just walking around and you have to worry about some idiot trying to come and capture you so they can make money on a bounty. Oh, God. Right. Anyway. let's celebrate some women. Featherlight. We'll start out with Frances Ellen Harper Watkins. Pick back up on her. We did read one of her famous poems, Bury Me in a Free Land. She published that in 1854. You can always call in and share your thoughts with us at 704-802-5056. That is 704-802-5056. And don't forget to go online to the Black Talk Radio Media Project and donate. Scotty, I keep saying I'm going to set up that Patreon. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. Trust me, I will. I'm going to get around to it. I have a few days off this week to focus on some other projects. I have some time to focus on some other projects. And trust me, you are on my list, Scotty, because you are in my cap. and I'm going to donate. And you should donate also to the Black Talk Media Project. All right. So we want to keep this station live, and we need your support. Let's support each other. Oh, yes. All right. Frances Ellen Harper, before we go into our break. So I remember Scotty was interested in Frances Ellen Harper, and he was trying to remember if on the abolitionist radio Frances Ellen Harper had been mentioned. And I kind of caught a little bit of what the brothers on the abolitionist radio show were speaking about in terms of catching themselves with the language and the verbiage of saying slaves, and what's what a proper way to describe the condition of the enslaved. One thing that I learned from Dr. Frances Chris Welsing, she would say we are the descendants of enslaved captured people. So I've decided to reference those ancestors as captives, because yes, they were held as captives. Right. I don't even have to go into all the slaves and enslaved. Right. They were held captive. Let's just call it what it is.
Right.
There was war. There was a war on the people and the land.
Right.
And these were the quote-unquote booty or the captives.
Right.
They were held in captivity. And all the horrible, horrific things that you could think of that would happen to a person is being held in captive. It's being held captive, being held in captivity. That's what happened to them, and more.
Exactly.
So Frances Ellen Harper, thank goodness for a brilliant sister like her that was part of the Black intelligentsia of the 19th century, spoke about enslavement and eradicating enslavement and the discrimination of Black people. As we mentioned last week, Frances Ellen Harper was one of those people that could pass for white. So she, if she chose to just have the easy life, if she opted to just say, oh, I don't have to go through all of this, she could have. But something that she often spoke about was how this is the life she chose. She wanted to stand with her people. She chose to stand with her people. And she spoke about, yes, I could have passed if I wanted the easy way out, if I didn't want to be a part of the struggle. So that's one reason why I really, really respect her so much. And there were so many other people like that, I'm sure, that could have passed. I mean, look at the churches, Robert Church and his family, they could have passed. So born Frances Ellen Watkins on September 24th, 1825, in Baltimore, Maryland, Frances E.W. Harper was a leading African-American poet and writer. She was also an ardent activist in the abolitionist and women's rights movement. She made literary history in 1859 with the publication of Two Offers. And maybe next week or one day soon we'll read Two Offers. With this work, she became the first African-American female writer to publish a short story. We'll come back to that. Bright and talented, Harper started writing poetry in her youth. At the age of 20, she published her first collection of poetry entitled Forest Leaves. At the age of 20, published her first collection of poetry. She attended a school for
African-American
children. Amazing. Yes. Her uncle, Reverend William Watkins, was a school teacher, and she was a student at his school. See how important it is for us to teach our own? It's very important that we teach our own. She moved to Ohio. Mm-hmm. She began to teach domestic skills such as sewing at the Union Seminary. Again, this is why one of my goals is to have a sewing school for young girls, because we could save so much money if we learn to make our own clothes. And then you can sell some of your clothes. Sell your wares just like designers do, the same clothes that we purchase.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So this union
make it profitable.
This Union Seminary Soaring School was a school that was run by leading abolitionist John Brown. Harper became dedicated to the abolitionist cause a few years later after her home state of Maryland passed a fugitive slave law, which, of course, allowed even free blacks, such as Harper, to be arrested and sold into slavery. Right back to what we just mentioned about your root chakra being off balance, right, Featherlight? Imagine that fear. You're free. Mm-hmm. And then somebody just come and kidnap you. That's what they did. Kidnap. Okay, and transport you across federal lines, but now that's a fed charge, right? These people are hilarious. 1854, Harper published poems of miscellaneous subjects, which featured one of her most famous works, Bury Me in a Free Land, which we previously read. She also became an in-demand lecturer on behalf of the abolitionist movement, appearing with the likes of Frederick Douglass, William Garrison, Lucretia Mott, and Lucy Stone. In 1864, she returned to the lecture circuit after her husband passed. Let's see. Let me get to this part here. Published her most famous novel, Iola Leroy, in 1892. That's a very significant year because in that year, there was an increase in lynchings. That was one of the highest counts of lynchings right during that time, 1891, 1892. Iola Leroy was for sometimes cited as the first novel by an African American author. Okay. Mm-hmm. However, there was a discovery by Professor Henry Louis Gates in 1982, Harriet Wilson's Our Nig, which was written in 1859. And then later, William Wells Brown's 1853 novel, Claudel, or The President's Daughter, although it was first published in England, that's where he was living at the time, it became to be viewed as the first novel by an African-American author. But nevertheless, she did hold that title for some time as the first African-American to write a novel. And you can find Harriet Wilson's Nig online. You can read that online, too. I think everybody should read that because it was cited also as one of the first novels. Mm-hmm. Harper's novel remains important. As one of the earliest novels written by an African American, dealing with complex issues of race, class, and politics. Remember when last week we spoke about how she would be considered like Dr. Frances Cress Welsing, a race speaker,
right?
So that was her focus. That was one of her issues in addition to women's rights, race. The African-American journalist Ida B. Wells took up the pen name Iola when she first started writing articles about racism in the South. So that's what I was trying to remember right last week when I was trying to remember the connection. I remember reading like who adopted the pen name. Frances from Ida or Ida from Frances? So Ida B. Wells adopted the pen name from the book Iola. Let's see. And also Harper co-founded the National Association of Colored Women with Ida B. Wells, Harriet Tubman, and several others. Now, remember also, I have to reflect on this is why I think maybe, I don't know how long, I was just enraged that I had never heard about this woman until I paid to go to college and actually had to take a 19th century African Americans women's course before I even heard her name. I mean, I said, wait a minute. So she was friends with Frederick Douglass, Ida B. Wells, Harriet Tubman, founded this organization. How come I never heard her name? Her writings, the first this, why that, what? I had a poor education. Mm. I was grossly unread. And so how is it that we can go to school for 12 years and not know about someone like this?
My, it really makes you wonder.
That's right. She was a part of American history, not just black history. She was an abolitionist, a very prominent, prolific abolitionist. All right. So that's Frances Ellen Harper Walkes. And I hope you enjoyed.
We did. Share with her. Thank you so much.
Oh, we need to take a break, right?
Yes.
Let's take our break. Let's take our break and we'll be right back. You are tuned in to the Mind, Body, and Spirit radio show. While we're on break, be sure to go on to Black Talk Radio Network and join the BTRs where you can follow us on the BTRs. And we'll be right back.
Black Talk Media Project would like to invite you to become a member of the BTR Community subscription-based social media platform. BTR Community is a platform that was set up for the listening audience of Black Talk Radio Network, the number one independent black radio network online. For just $24 per year, your subscription gives you access to an interactive space to share information with like-minded people with your privacy guaranteed. Your subscription will go a long way to help us maintain and improve our current media platforms. It will also help provide a budget so that we can begin the task of establishing localized media centers and radio stations across the United States. The best way to show your support and appreciation for what we do here at Black Talk Radio is to subscribe. Help us to help you be informed. Join BTRCommunity.com today.
All right, and we're back here at the Mind, Body, and Spirit Radio Show. Namaste, namaste. Namaste. Hey, Scotty, I hope you're doing well. Hope you're feeling better. I know that you were under the weather for a while. So, wishing you all the best, brother. All right, so Featherlight, namaste to you.
Namaste, namaste. Now, I would like to share some information about the Dahomey Amazons, the Dahomey Amazons, or Mino, which means our mothers in Fon. They were a Fon all-female military regiment of the Kingdom of Dahomey, which in the present-day Republic of Benin, which lasted until the end of the 19th century. They were so named by Western observers and historians due to their similarity to the mythical Amazons of ancient Anatolia and the Black Sea. Some women in Fon society became soldiers voluntarily, while others were involuntarily enrolled if their husbands or fathers complained to the king about their behavior. Membership among the Mino was supposed to hone any aggressive character traits for the purpose of war. During their membership, they were not allowed to have children or be part of married life, though they were legally married to the king. Many of them were virgins. Whoa. The regiment had a semi-sacred status, which was intertwined with Fon belief in Vodun. Lupita Nyong'o, the star of The Black Panther, is set to star in a film based on the true events of the Dahomey Amazons, who are part of the inspiration. Yes, I definitely plan to see that. They are part of the inspiration for Black Panther's Dora Milaje warriors, the female warriors that we saw in The Black Panther. If you haven't seen it, what are you waiting for? So they were part of the inspiration for that movie. Nyong'o will play the daughter of fellow Oscar winner Viola Davis in the film, and the title of it will be The Woman King. So look for it, ladies and gents, guys and dolls. I know I'll be watching it. The story takes place in the Kingdom of Dahomey and is inspired by true events where the all-female military fought against neighboring tribes and the French who were enslaving their people. In the film, The Black Panther, the Dahomey warriors protecting the king showed remarkable skill, loyalty, and strength. Legend has it that Dahomey's female archers, bodyguards to King Benhazen, cut off their right breast in order to increase their shooting skill. Talk about dedication. Let me just take this off so I can aim better and just go. While European narratives refer to the women soldiers as Amazons, they call themselves Ahosi, king's wives, or Mino, our mothers. European encroachment into West Africa, they're always encroaching upon somebody, gained peace pace during the latter half of the 19th century, and in 1890, King Benhazen started fighting French forces in the course of the First Franco-Dahomeyan War. After several battles, the Dahomey warriors were defeated by the French, who used bayonets and guns versus hand-to-hand combat, the cowards. The Second Franco-Dahomeyan War, which raged from 1892 to 1894, was a major conflict between the French Third Republic and the Kingdom of Dahomey under King Benhazen. The French emerged triumph and incorporated Dahomey into the growing colonial territory of French West Africa. Colonizers.
Always running around massacring and colonizing.
Stealing and
torturing. Speaking of which, I'm so glad still that these people, with the brothers and sisters in South Africa, the EFF and the BLF, Economic Freedom Fighters, and the Black Land First groups are having the discussions about expropriation of the land because they deserve their land. For those Dutch gangsters that are whining and crying about the land, listen, you can't own something that you stole. But yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing Lupita's film, though.
Oh, yes. That is going to be fantastic. I can't wait.
Cut off the right breast.
I will let everybody know when it's coming on. I will let them know in the show. Yeah, cut off the right breast. They weren't having a whole lot of, you know, sexual activities.
Anyway, huh?
Their main focus was protect the king.
Being the warriors. Main job.
Being warriors.
And that's why we are celebrating these women tonight. We're celebrating Black pride, Black culture, celebrating Black women. We are celebrating women all month long. So our next person that we will celebrate, before we go into our next prominent figure, I want to give recognition to the students that were able to walk out of the schools today. There were several walkouts planned and organized around the country where students walked out for 17 minutes. A memorandum of the 17 students that were killed at the Stoneham Mary School.
Oh, 17 minutes.
And many of these superintendents, even here in Texas, there were quite a few superintendents that stated that the students would suffer the consequence of possible suspension. There would be repercussions if they walked out. Some of the students walked out anyway, even though their parents were giving them permission to walk out. And I think that the school needs to stay out of it because, as I was discussing with some people today, if you look at the pictures of the civil rights movement, it was the young, there were a lot of young children involved. The young children and the college students that were pushing the civil rights movement right along with many of the organizers. The organizers utilized the strength and power of the youth. For one reason, the youth didn't have to worry about losing a job. their parents, right. if they had to go and vote, if their parents were trying to take off work, oh, you're not coming to clean my house and wash my laundry because that's all they let them do. Oh, you can't drive mm-hmm. me anywhere because you mm-hmm. want to go do what? Protest.
Right.
You fight.
right. And we're you no longer have process tonight. That.
Right. Mm-hmm. And we're coming to kill your family tonight. When I get mm-hmm. home and tell Jim that you didn't come over here and wash my clothes, Miss right. Minnie.
Yeah.
And John, you didn't, George, like they used to call him on the trains. Every black man name was George. George, yeah. you're not coming over here to drive me. I need to go to the store, George.
Mm.
To show you how insignificant and how they thought of us as non-humans.
Right.
And so it was many right. of the children that had to take that up, that had to take on the become a part of the movement. If you look at the films, the video, the reenactments, the children were the ones being loaded into those paddy wagons, clapping and yeah. singing. Ain't nobody gonna sure. turn me around. Speaking of ain't nobody gonna turn me around, nobody in this section of the country believes the threadbare old lie that the Negro men rape white women. It'll be Wales. Ida B. Wells. Ida B, baby.
Ida B.
The formidable Ida B. Wells. It was not all that unusual when in 1892, a mob dragged Thomas Moss out of a Memphis jail in his pajamas and shot him to death over a feud that began with a game of marbles.
Oh,
see how these people be lying? You see how they sit here and just make up stuff? But his lynching changed history because of its effect on one of the nation's most influential journalists, who was also the godmother of his first child, Ida B. Wells. Now let me just go back and correct this right here, because Thomas Moss, right, this right here, and I'm going to send these people a little note, a little email. This is not what happened. This is not why Thomas Moss was lynched. I am from Memphis. We used to give tours in Memphis and discuss many of the historical black sites in Memphis, sites relative to African-American history. So I know Memphis, okay? Now, Thomas Moss, it was Thomas Moss and two other brothers. Featherlight, if you can, look up the two other brothers' names.
Okay.
I used to know their names. But it was Thomas Moss and two other brothers. They owned the People's Grocery Store right there in South Memphis. It was at the corner of, what is that, McLemore and, what's that street? McLemore and South, oh, goodness gracious.
South Parkway?
South Parkway, thank you.
Is it okay?
I think it was right in that area. The store was in South Memphis. And there was some white men that owned a grocery store directly across the street.
Right.
They began to lose business because not only were the black people patronizing People's Grocery Store owned by Thomas Moss and the two other brothers.
Will Stewart and Calvin McDowell.
That's right, Stewart. I knew it started with the S. I kept wanting to say Steele. Will Stewart and Calvin McDowell.
McDowell.
Mm-hmm. McDowell, okay. Mm-hmm. Moss, McDowell, and Stewart. They owned the People's Grocery Store.
It was in a neighborhood called The Curve.
The Curve, because mm-hmm. it's right there at the little curve, right mm-hmm. there. I know, yeah. It sits actually on the corner. It's a real corner store. It was a mm-hmm. real corner store. Right. And so the white business owners across the street began to lose business, not only because the black people were patronizing this People's Grocery Store, but the white patrons began to go over there. So that's why they lynched Thomas Moss. It wasn't nothing to do with no damn marbles game. I don't know where they came up with this little fabricated tale from. So, but anyway, so yeah, they lynched him. They came and actually raided the store, I believe. They raided the store and attacked them. And so they were fleeing for their lives, and that's when they were taken to the jail, I think, for protection. And then this mob, they came and put them on the railroad tracks, right there downtown by 2nd Street. Put them on the railroad tracks and then they lynched them. So it is with no pleasure that I have dipped my hands in the corruption here exposed, Wells wrote in 1892 in her introduction to Southern Horrors, one of her seminal works about lynching. Somebody must show that the Afro-American race is more sinned against than sinning. And it seems to have fallen upon me to do so. I think that that's how she would have spoken. I think that's a good portrayal of her voice. Yes. I feel that she would say it like this. Somebody must show that the Afro-American race is more sinned against than sinning. And it seems to have fallen upon me to do so. Because, see, she was from, what is that? What part of Mississippi is that? Holly Springs. So she probably had this little Southern drawl to a little Southern twang. So I think that's how she would have said that. With a pound of fierceness. Okay. She pioneered reporting techniques that remain central tenets of modern journalism. And as a former slave who stood less than 5 feet tall, she took on structural racism more than half a century before her strategies were repurposed, often without crediting her during the 1960 civil rights movement. See, women were never given their due, just like Dorothy Hyde. After Moss was killed, she set out on a reporting mission, and she crisscrossed the South and the North, and she would conduct eyewitness interviews, and she dug up records on dozens of similar cases. So her studies, she was able to collect the data and present it in a manner that had never really been presented before. First of all, people were trying to say that all of these lynchings were contained to the South. But she was able to prove how, again, like I mentioned in 1892, there was an increase. So she was able to show like the increase that happened at different times of the year. Also, her goal was to question a stereotype that was often used to justify lynchings, that black men were rapists. Instead, she found that in two-thirds of mob murders, rape was never an accusation. And she often found evidence of what had actually been a consensual interracial relationship. So once again, a lot of these white women were having relationships with black men, or they were fantasizing about having a relationship with black men. It's even been revealed or disclosed here recently, that the woman that Emmett Till was supposed to have bumped up against in the elevator, he actually had some kind of relationship going on with her. Or they were familiar with each other.
Right. Because they both disappeared.
So it's not like, so all of this is what Ida B. Wells also presented to the record, that stop lying. You keep lying about somebody trying to rape you, and that's not the case. In actuality, you all are doing the raping. All of you are doing the raping. And you're doing the lynching. And you're cutting off our livers and penises and all of this stuff and scrambling our organs up in skillets and selling them for $5. And it's disgusting. And so she called him out on it. So she published her findings in a series of fiery editorials in the newspaper she co-owned and edited, the Memphis Free Speech and Headline. The public received her stories and devoured them voraciously. She was noted as the princess of the press. She wrote about the victims of racist violence, and she organized economic boycotts long before the tactic was popularized. Frederick Douglass once said to her in a letter, "I have spoken, but my word is feeble in comparison." So he had to give her props. Say, "Sister, you're telling all right. You're telling the story." Because when Frederick Douglass wrote his narrative, the narrative of Frederick Douglass, and when he would go out on speaking engagements, a number of those white abolitionists, in particular William Lloyd Garrison, they would try to tell him, tone it down a little bit. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't have to mention how, you know, the men are being raped. You know, don't mention so much about the rapes. And I might not want to say that part. You know, just stick to how it's wrong to, you know, hold people in enslavement, and you know, you need the right to vote, and, you know, things like that.
Don't mention the gory part, the inhumanity of it all.
You might run them off with that, Fred. Maybe a little bit too much for him, Fred. So, let's see. Wells saw lynching as a violent form of subjugation, as an excuse to get rid of Negroes who were acquiring wealth and property, and thus keep the race terrorized and the nigger down, as she wrote in her journal. And that is still the case. Again, you can go to one book if you don't want to take the time to do the research. You can go to one book, Without Sanctuary, and you'll be able to see those pictures. Many of those pictures of the people that were lynched, if you look at those pictures, they had on their suits, or they had on a shirt and tie, and their slacks, and they had a hat. And see, it was funny to them, for these murderers to lynch somebody. And then they put the little hat on them all in little funny sideways and all of that stuff. That just goes to show just how evil.
And they would have their pants pulled down.
Yeah, the pants all pulled down, and you pointing and looking and gawking and all of this stuff. So, Ida B. Wells, again, just noticing the world around her is what inspired her to become a journalist. And her goal was to write about Black people for Black people in a way that was accessible to those who, like her, were born the property of white owners and had much to defend. Ida B. Wells.
Ida B. Wells. Huron.
Yes.
True. She sure made a big difference, I tell you. All that work. Bringing to the light about the lynching, which people kept trying to sweep under the rug. She did not give up.
She didn't give up. She did not give up. All right. Would you like your quote for the light?
I certainly would.
Time for quoting. All right. Did you know quote? Did you know something?
Yes, I would.
Okay. All right.
I don't think I understood what you said. Did you say you wanted to do a quote, or you waiting on me to do a quote?
Oh, yes, your quote.
Okay. I'm like, sure.
Sure.
I said, in silence.
Yeah.
I sailed west to reach east and had to round off the earth as I went. The hair on my head thinned, and gold was made on three continents. I am so hip, even my errors are correct. I am so perfect, so divine, so ethereal, so surreal. I cannot be comprehended except by my own permission. Nikki Giovanni.
Nikki Giovanni, just to name a few. Oh, yes. I read that in high school, but I didn't read it with the passion that poem deserved, because I just wasn't there. I knew I wanted to read that poem, but I didn't know how to read it at that time. And I think that's what helped me grow, because my English teacher at that time, she flat out told me, that's one thing I liked about her. She was very straightforward. And she said, I've heard that poem read many times, and it could have been read better. You didn't do a good job.
Really?
No. No, it's like, okay. Because I think I thought I did it all right at first, and then I said, I guess I didn't.
Well, that's my first time reading it out loud. I just read it like I felt. I mean, I haven't even, I mean, I've written it. I mean, I've read it, but I've never really heard anybody do it. So I don't know what to, you know, what to go on, you know.
Oh, well, I had to stand up and read it in like a dramatic, I guess what we would call a dramatic reading now.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I had to stand up before the class and all of that. So, anyway, let's see. I guess I could read this wise word from Lorraine Hansberry. Never be afraid to sit a while and think. Never be afraid to sit a while and think. All right. I'm going to remember that because I do sit and think. But I should have a more dedicated time to just really sit and really think. Does that make sense?
I don't know, because I think, but I guess I don't just sit and think. Well, I sit and think at the park, you know. That's sort of my. And it's and it's a good time, you know, to to sit, to just sit and well, I call it meditate, but yeah, and do nothing, not nothing. You know, just be doing this and thinking while you're doing this, and that, but just sit, yeah.
Okay,
it's one of my better times when I can when I do that.
Yeah, I did that on the beach. The other week, I just sat and I had my headphones on with my music, and I just sat there and just singing and enjoying the breeze. It was quite windy, but it was still very nice. Speaking of which, it's a spring break here on the island. On the island. Yes, yeah, so celebrating spring break, and we'll be back after this break with African Spirit. So stay tuned. You are tuned into the Mind, Body, and Spirit radio show. We'll be right back.
Black Talk Radio, your choice for digital black radio. New black media for the new millennium.
And we are back here at the Mind, Body, and Spirit radio show. Tonight we are honoring for our African Spirit segment Shirley Ann Jackson. I know someone named Shirley Ann Jackson. Shirley Ann Jackson, born August 5th, 1946. She is an American physicist and the 18th president of the Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute. She is the first African-American woman to have earned a doctorate at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, MIT. She is also the second African-American woman in the U.S. to earn a doctorate in physics and the first to be awarded the National Medal of Science. She was born in D.C., and her parents encouraged her in school and spurred on her interest in science by helping her with her science classes. So parents, continue helping your children with those projects. She graduated in 1964 as valedictorian. That's right. She began classes at MIT in 1964, one of the fewer than 20 African-American students and the only one studying theoretical physics. She elected to stay at MIT for her doctoral work, in part to encourage more African-American students to attend the institution. She worked on elementary particle theory and received her PhD degree in nuclear physics at MIT in 1973, the first African-American woman to earn a doctorate again. She innovated the telecommunications industry by contributing to the inventions of the touch tone phone, portable fax, caller ID, call waiting, and the fiber optic cable. I remember when fiber optic cable became popular. Remember that? And they were talking about fiber optic cable. Fiber optic cable.
Yeah, I remember. It sounded really strange. Yeah.
She is also the first African-American woman to earn a doctorate at MIT in nuclear physics. All cell phone users better say thank you to Miss Jackson. And that's why we're honoring her tonight here at the Mind, Body, and Spirit radio show for our African Spirit segment, because pretty much everybody has a cell phone except for people off the grid who don't want one. Who choose not to have one. But otherwise, primarily, many of us have one or two, three or four cell phones, or in some form or fashion, we're using the fiber optic cable. Okay? So Shirley and Jackson, thank you.
Kudos to you. Thank you.
Gracias. All right. Yeah, but did you know? Or what do you have for us?
Did you know? Guys, get ready.
Get ready.
Pineal gland moved into the two acyloids. Then melatonin is vital for regulating our sleep cycle, the night hours of rest, which is crucial to our health and longevity. Melatonin is a hormone that synchronizes the rhythmicity of the body, also known as the circadian rhythm. So all of the universe has a rhythm. Everything, everybody, has a rhythm, a cycle.
Has a rhythm.
If our rhythm is thrown off, the body suffers. In addition to our sleep cycle, the body cycle or rhythm for digesting food, we should be eating from 12 noon into the body from 7 p.m. to 4 a.m. 4 a.m. The body is cleansing. So when you're trying to 7 a.m. in the morning, 8 a.m., 9 a.m., it's really the night's work. Now, on the other hand, Lord, I mean, the breakfast food is so, you know, for the food. She said, can the hormone sunlight, okay? So serotonin is by sunlight, daylight, artificial light. It is secreted into the blood during daylight hours, and it causes muscles to contract, blood vessels to constrict, regulates our blood pressure, and has the ability to alter consciousness. Mm. In other words, improvise other realities. So when alkaloids, those are two alkaloids I just mentioned, melatonin and serotonin. Melatonin is the night, serotonin is the day. When alkaloids are made by the human body, they are not harmful because they are at the correct proportion and concentrations. The pineal gland makes the unharmful alkaloid serotonin and melatonin for good health. Aside from this, the body makes many toxic chemicals at the correct unharmful concentrations, such as
alcohol. Our body makes alcohol. Our body makes ammonia. Our body makes bleach, which is hydrochloric acid, and lye, which is sulfuric acid, etc. Caucasians make an extreme amount of ammonia and sulfur due to their low level of melanin. They're melanin recessive. People of color, black people, people of African descent are melanin dominant. So Caucasians make an extreme amount of ammonia and sulfur due to their low level of melanin, which is why they are able to withstand cold. You always see them walking around with shorts on. It's like cold out here. Ammonia boils at freezing temperatures and freezes at high temperatures. And this is also the reason for the pungent odor when Caucasians get wet. It's the sulfur. It's the sulfur that you're smelling because they have an extreme amount. I thought that was very interesting. This is from Dr. Pookrum's book called Vitamins A through D, and it shows the vital activities and life-sustaining attributes of melanin. It is so profound. Oh, so many interesting facts in there about melanin. It makes you want to jump up and down. So I thought that was very interesting because I used to wonder about this. Aren't they cold? So,
yes.
Did you know?
Like, it is cold out here, and you have on shorts and sandals. Yes. What's going on?
Yes. So, do you have? Tell us about your gemstone. I know some people out there are interested in what gemstone you want to share with us this week.
Tonight. Yes, tonight. So tonight, we're still on our brown crystals, and tonight we are going to talk about the smoky quartz. Smoky quartz crystal. And this crystal has a translucent appearance, often long, and it's pointed, usually darker at the points. And some of the properties of the smoky quartz: it aids in elimination and detoxification on all levels, relieves fear, lifts depression, bringing calmness and positive thought, useful for radiation-related illnesses or chemotherapy. So if you are undergoing chemotherapy or some type of radiation treatments, have a smoky quartz with you. The smoky quartz also helps in the acceptance of your body being able to cleanse the base chakra, aids in virility, grounds spiritual energy. Featherlight, you were speaking about grounding earlier.
Yes, the base, yes. Okay.
Neutralizes negative energy, alleviates nightmares, and will help you manifest your dreams. I'm going to find a smoky quartz tomorrow.
That's working on the root. Okay. Manifestation. Yes. Okay.
Right. And yes, you're exactly right. And when you meditate with this, you place it on your root chakra. You can also place this smoky quartz under your pillow at night. Place it under your pillow at night, and that's the smoky quartz. Yay. Okay, let's see. Featherlight.
Very good.
I'll just share quickly this. Did you know on cantaloupe? Because it's a fruit that we can access easily. It's known as the beauty fruit. A cup of cantaloupe delivers 100% of the daily RV of vitamins A and C. The high vitamin C plays an important role in the growth and repair of tissue, helps form collagen needed for making skin tissues, tendons, ligaments, and blood vessels. Cantaloupe is rich in antioxidants, such as beta-carotene, lutein, and zeaxanthin, which have the ability to help protect cells and other structures in the body, offering protection against colon, prostate, breast,
as well as other cancers. 80% water content makes it good for hydration. So, to prevent breast cancer, colon cancer, and prostate cancer, fill up on your cantaloupe. I want to say, where did I read this? It may have been in How to Eat to Live, Dr. Minister Elijah Muhammad, may peace be upon him, that wrote, if you want to cure yourself of any kind of disease, it may have been Dr. Sabi, you can just eat some fruit, just eat some cantaloupe, eat some watermelon, honeydew melon for an entire month. And you'll be able to cure yourself. But they'll tell you get on chemo and all this other stuff. Take all of these different medications. Lying in the pockets of these pharmaceutical companies. Making you addicted, causing you to die. Bringing on death versus health. All for their wealth.
All for their wealth. Hey.
You sure
bring
do.
On, paying that.
Bring on death instead of health. All for their wealth. All for the accumulation of their wealth.
Yeah, I like that.
I need to remember that. Okay. All right, so what do we have next?
Well, I have a recipe. I haven't shared a recipe in a while. So, this is for sweet potato fries. Sweet potato fries. Now, sweet potatoes are high in vitamin B6. And B6 helps reduce this chemical called homocysteine in our body. And it's been linked with degenerative diseases, including heart attacks. So vitamin B6 is good. It's also a good source of vitamin C. We know that builds up our immune system. And vitamin C also produces collagen, which helps maintain your skin's youthful elasticity. And it's good for helping us cope with stress, which we just talked about we're dealing with. So sweet potatoes, they're a good source of food, healthy food to eat. And it's also a good source of magnesium, which is a relaxation and anti-stress mineral. You get, you notice that Epsom salt is a good, has magnesium. And when you're stressed out, or your bones are aching, muscles are aching, what have you, you take an Epsom salt bath. That's what I took the other day. So a lot of times we don't get enough magnesium. I think our body doesn't produce enough. I heard that from somebody real spiritual, and they suggested that I take the Epsom salt baths on a regular basis because our body doesn't produce enough of it. Anywho, sweet potatoes do not cause blood sugar spikes. They're sweet, but they don't cause blood sugar spikes like sugar does. So are you ready? This will yield 4 servings. 1/2 teaspoon of ground cumin, pink salt, which is optional, 1/4 teaspoon of ground red pepper, 1 tablespoon of virgin olive oil, 2 large sweet potatoes. Prepare the sweet potatoes in a small bowl. You combine cumin and pepper. Set it aside. Preheat your oven to 400 degrees. Peel your potatoes. Cut each in half lengthwise. Cut each half into 6 wedges. And put in a large bowl and combine the cut potatoes all in spice mixture. And then toss into potatoes are all evenly coated. Bake them on a baking sheet. Arrange potatoes in a single layer and place in the middle of the shelf and bake until edges are crisp and potatoes are cooked through for about 30 minutes. They are delicious and they're healthy and you make them yourself. They're much better than regular fries, sweet potato fries. And the cumin, or you can add a little cayenne pepper if you like them a little spicy, like myself. They're very, they make a good snack. Children love them. So it's a good healthy snack for your children. And it's a good healthy snack for you. Like I said, it's sweet, it's tasty, and it's healthy.
Healthy.
So I will put that on the
Mind, Body, and Spirit group page, so that you can go back and refer to it if you didn't get this. So there you have it. Your recipe.
Thank you. I love your recipes. I absolutely love them. I'm glad that you post them on the page too, because people like Mother Hattie, especially since she's traveling tonight, she can always go on the page if she joins BTR, and she can view the recipe. And it's right
good,
there.
Good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're so naturally sweet. That's what I like about sweet potatoes. Not yams. I'm not talking about yams. Sweet potatoes. They're naturally sweet tasting, but their natural sugars are slowly released into the bloodstream. So it helps you ensure you have a balanced source of energy, because, you know, sweetness does give you energy without the blood sugar spikes, you know, that's linked to fatigue and gaining weight. So I thought that was a nice recipe to share. To share.
Yes. And okay, thank you.
Is there anything else before? No, we're not on anything. We're just happy people.
We're just happy people. Well, do you want to go into breathing, or should I read a little something about the card? Should I pull a card?
Oh, please, the card, the card, the card.
Okay. The card I pulled for the people. Okay, great. The card I pulled for the people tonight, and I did ask to be able to pull the right card. I pulled the Emperor card for our listeners tonight. And the Emperor card shows us that domination of the mind over the heart is sometimes necessary, even though it's not wanted. In fact, he should place a welcome. There should be a welcome, okay, when this card appears. There's a choice, hard choices that must be made in order to maintain your concentration and your focus. So somebody out there that has to really concentrate and focus, okay, on some choices. And let's see here, what else? There's some older person, a gentleman, that is appearing. It could be a colleague or a father figure type of person, but it's someone that's coming into your life. And so look for this person. I'm not sure what this person is bringing to you. This person can be frustrating, but this person is there to help you. This person is there to help you. He's been placed in your life for a reason. So just pay attention. And just see. Right. Let's look at work. So your work should be going well, even though your efforts may be going unnoticed. Okay. But just continue pressing on. Step outside of yourself. You will succeed in finding what you're looking for. And for the in relation to this older person, for someone out there that's looking for love, this older person may just be that person for you. So you may discount this person or discredit them, like, ah, that older person. This may just be the person that you've been looking for. And in terms of finances, this card shows a need for discipline, logic, and in order to make your finances work better for you, you're going to have some focus, some discipline, and some logic. Are you treating your money with respect?
Focus.
Okay. Remember not to focus on what you don't have, but focus on what you do have. I was just reading a quote by Oprah Winfrey that spoke to this. Be grateful for what you have, and then you'll have more.
Yeah.
And that is one of the universal principles.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right.
I like that. Thank you. Thank you. Be grateful.
Well, one more thing on spirituality. Be sure to take time out for yourself in order to honor your need for spiritual growth.
Take some time out for yourself. See, that's part of the pleasure principle. Yes. Taking some time for yourself, nurturing yourself. If you're a pleaser, this is really a message for you, because pleasers tend to make sure everybody else is doing okay. Mm. And
they're not taking care of themselves. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
You're being a caregiver.
You cannot pour from an empty cup.
Indeed.
Make sure your cup is filled, and then you can help others. Just like they say on the airplane, put the mask on yourself first. Put the mask on yourself first.
Put yourself first.
Mm-hmm. So, are we ready to do some breathing and some qigong?
Yes,
Okay, well, we are going to do a little review of what we did last week. I won't switch up on you every week, because I would like for us to feel familiar with our exercises in a way that you will want to do them, other than Wednesday night, 10 minutes before 11 o'clock. You can do them Monday, Sunday, Friday, any day, anytime that you like. So you will get in the habit of doing it on your own. So we can sit, Black Rose, and for this exercise. So we'll have a seat.
Ooh.
Take a deep breath. Make sure your feet are planted flat on the floor. And take a deep breath. Inhale. Exhale. And I will try not to make noise as I want to do these with you. What you're going to do, inhale and turn your head slowly to the right. Exhale and bring your head back to the center. Inhale, turn your head slowly to the left. Exhale, bring your head back to the center. Inhale, take your head up with your chin up toward the ceiling. Exhale, bring your head back down with your chin on your collarbone. Inhale, back to the center. Exhale and drop your right ear to your right shoulder, and make sure your right shoulder is relaxed. You don't need to try to meet it. Meet your head. Just drop your shoulder. Inhale, bring it back up. Exhale, drop your left ear to your left shoulder. Make sure your left shoulder is relaxed, released. And inhale, bring it back up. We're going to do a little belly breathing. Shake your shoulders a little bit for me. Just shake, 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 shake. Because that's where we hold a lot of our tension, in our shoulders. All right. Now, let's do a little belly breathing. You're going to put one of your hands on your chest and the other on your lower abdomen. You're going to breathe in through your nose, and you're going to breathe out through your mouth. You're going to form a little whistle-like hole through your mouth, just like you're about to whistle, like, and just breathe out. And you're going to breathe out very, very slowly. Although we're not going to count, I would like for you to just kind of mentally count when you exhale to about six. That's how much we want to exhale, about six, okay? So when you're exhaling toxins. So you want to exhale as much, release as much toxins as you can. Okay, are we ready? All right. Hands in place. Inhale.
exhale. Inhale. Exhale. Inhale. Exhale. Last time. Inhale. And exhale. I forgot to mention that your chest, the hand on your chest, should remain perfectly still, while the hand on your stomach is rising up when you're inhaling, and you're gently pushing on your stomach to help release the air as you're exhaling. So now that you have those further instructions, let's try it two more times. Inhale. Exhale. Push. Inhale. Exhale. Push, push. Excellent. All right, now let's do a little slapping and knocking. So as we said last week, you have block meridians, your energy channels that we talked about, running through the body. And when they're blocked, they hinder the flow of chi, which causes an imbalance between the forces of yin and yang, the male and female principles of our body. And this is the primary cause of disease. So the solution, unblock the meridians. Slapping, knocking, and stretching. Don't forget to stretch. They work together to clear the meridians of blocks and help the body to get rid of disease. So, make a light fist, not clenched, just light, and just knock on your chest like Tarzan used to do. Just knock on your chest lightly. Boom, 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 boom. Loosen up any stagnation of energy. And this builds up your immune system too. Let go of any worries. Let go of all your worries. All your doubts. Move up to the thymus glands and the heart. Take some deep breaths. Exhale. Inhale. Exhale. Now stretch out your right arm and begin to pat your upper shoulder as if you're patting yourself on the back, except it's your shoulder. But go under your shoulder a little bit. Just kind of pat there. And then you work your way down up under your arm. Actually, it's on the inside of your arm. And so you're slapping the inside of your arm. You work your way down to the inside of the elbow. Slap there. Slap on down towards your wrist. And when you're slapping in the bending parts, like your wrist and elbow, you can pause there a little longer when you're doing this at home, because this is where the energy tends to get stagnated in the bends, and that's why that tends to hurt. Slap your inside of your hand. That's the yin. Now flip over and start slapping the outside of your hand, the fingers, your hand, your wrist, your arm, the outside of your elbow. This is the yang, your upper arm, and then your shoulder. Switch over to your other arm, your left, and do the same thing, starting with your shoulder. Just kind of pat, pat on the inside elbow, slap it, slap, slap, slap. Pause there in the bend. Then work your way down towards your wrist, slap there, slap on your wrist, inside of your hand, your fingers. Flip over, slap the outside of your hand, your wrist, your arm, lower arm, the outer elbow. We're working on the yang now. Upper arm, shoulder, and then slap around your neck a little bit. Don't hurt yourself. Just slap your neck a little bit. Just slightly. Okay? Good. All right, now for our closing, take your arms, sweep your arms out to the side as you inhale. Take them up over your head with the palms facing each other. Exhale, You bring down that good chi, wash it over your face, your shoulders, your chest, your abdomen, your hips, and push it down towards your feet. One more time. Inhale, swoop the arms out and up. Arms facing each other. Look up. Exhale, bringing down that good chi. And move very, very slowly. If you move very slowly, you can feel the energy tingling in your fingers as you move. You are controlling your energy. Bring it all the way down, all the way down. Push it down past your hips, down towards your feet. Last time, out, up. Bring your hands together, facing each other. And the energy mudra, the prayer symbol. Smile, it helps to smile. Send a message to your brain that you're relaxed. Nod, and namaste. Thank you so much for joining us in our pranayama and our qigong, controlling our breath and controlling our energy. That's what's going to make us well. It's time for you to come out of your cocoon because your wings are ready. See you next week. Namaste.
Namaste. Thank you, Father. Peace and good night. Back on next week. Don't forget to donate to the WhatsApp and do your network project.
And join BTR.